very much. Have your Bibles take and open them up to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in the 6th chapter. Acts chapter 6. While you're turning there, I want to say I appreciate the ladies' ministry as they have taken on making the flower arrangements, which look very nice today. And as they're doing that, if you have some old, or not old, but unused vases that you would like to give to them and recycle them, then they will utilize it. And as flowers are taken, if you don't want the vase, bring it back and they'll reuse it again. Am I correct, Miss Ginger? Oh, if you'd like to purchase the vase, Ginger will sell it to you. But if you have some that you have around the house and don't use, they would be more than willing to get them so that they can cycle them in and out and everything, so they would appreciate that. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We often talk about that God has a plan for each one of us, and He does. But folks, you realize, no matter what it is, how blessed we are, how fortunate we are, that our Lord has chosen each one of us to serve in a special way. And that is a blessing. He gives gifts of all different types for each one. But He also chooses you and I to serve in one form or fashion, whether it's music or prayer warrior or cooking. Everything that we have the opportunity to have here is because of individuals who serve. And oftentimes, I think sometimes we take that for granted. The title of the message is Chosen to Serve. Jesus, as we looked at this morning at the Lord's service, the Lord's Supper, He served us. Herman's got me doing tongue-tied again. The Lord served His disciples. He served you and I going to the cross. And by the same token, He gives us the opportunity to serve His gospel and His glory in many different ways. Blood drives, ladies' ministry, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And this morning, as we look at Acts chapter 6, oftentimes people say, well, you know that preacher, he ought to be doing something else, and this needs to be done, and the preacher ought to do it. I don't mind serving, but at the same token, I'm going to tell you it's a great idea, and I'm so glad you volunteered. So, you know, we can't do it all. And I do appreciate so much your willingness for what you do. The Lord never intended for our Christianity, our salvation, to be a sediment salvation that we just sit in the pew. He invites us and desires for us to be active. So here in Acts chapter 6, we're going to see that they recognized that it was important for service, number one, to ensure that items that needed to be taken care of got taken care of. But at the same token, listen to the words here as they speak, as they're the ones being the preacher, they're being providing gospel and spiritual leadership, which is also a service, a gift to be able to do that. I've been very privileged to be the pastor here. But it takes all of us formulate and to carry out God's plan. So I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 6. Now in those days, when a number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrew by the Hellenist, because their widows were neglected in daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appropriate over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Perinetus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You may be seated. So here as they start in this first church, Christ has ascended. The disciples are left carrying on their discipleship for the Lord. It got to be that as things grew and there were so many activities, so many things that needed to be tended to, there wasn't enough. And so they looked to those who were faithful and full of the Holy Spirit. And noticed that not only did it please everyone that it had been spread about, but especially in verse 7, it says the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. The Great Commission that Jesus gave says we, those of us who are believers, are to go and spread that gospel and to create disciples, and teaching them and training them. And if we want to see it grow, it's because of you and I. No one person can do it all. And that is what it looked here. As I said, chosen to serve in the title of this. You and I have been given the opportunity because each one of us has the opportunity of a different sphere of people that we contact each and every day. I don't see the same people that Doc sees. I don't see the same people that Brother James sees over in Mason or the ladies. We all see different folks. But that opportunity is for each and every one of us if we're attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be, and too many, unfortunately, have been that way. When we look around our nation, we hear the statistics of the declining of this nation who and those in it who say that they are Christians. It used to be highly. The percentage of our nation was well over 90%, up into 98% at its peak. And today, it is less than 60% that claim to be a Christian. How a sad thing. And we wonder why our nation is where it's at. See, when you take God out of it, something will fill that void. That something is evil. And it don't take long to watch the news or in your neighborhood or in your community to see evil abounding. So this morning, looking at that, here they looked into their church as things began to grow. They saw that there was too much, and that was shared. All of the activities that this little church, just this church does, there is no way one person could do that. I'm very thankful for each and every one of you because you touch in a different way. By the same token, that allows that to go through our community and, matter of fact, without a doubt, outside of our community, into this hill country area. The Bibles that we mail out is worldwide, and we get those requests all the time. That is by your assistance that we're able to do that. And here, serving, no matter what your age is, if you're alive and breathing and know Jesus Christ, He's not done with you, folks. Oftentimes people say, well, I'm too young or I'm too old. No, the Lord has a plan for each one of us and will allow us to have the ability to serve in how He wants us to serve. He gives us those gifts to be able to do that. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, as he's speaking to the Jewish people, as they begin to leave out and they've been in captivity in Babylon, in Jeremiah 22, he begins to explain to them and the verses that are there. And you say, well, I'm not sure what the Lord would have me to do. It's very simple. If we ask, we will receive. And Jeremiah's words of the prophet that he gave to them here in 29. And it starts out as he is writing a letter to them in verse 4. He begins it so there's no doubt. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. That same God that spoke to Jeremiah, that Holy Spirit, speaks to you and I each and every day. I draw your attention down to verse 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and hope. For I know the thoughts that I think. I repeat that. It's what God thinks. He has no intention of giving you us evil, but for peace and a future with a hope. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's a promise. That when we come before Him and begin to talk to Him, He listens. We too have to honor when He speaks to listen. Verse 13 says, and you will seek me and find me. Too many times I hear that, well, I just don't know what the Lord wants us to do. And I understand. Been there myself. You know, a lot of times it's right in front of us. We just don't see it. Or we don't want to see it. One of the two happens there. Sometimes the old devil comes along and he says, really? You really think you can do that? He'll do anything to keep us from doing God's will. And yeah, just like Moses said, you know, he said, Lord, do you want me to lead the people? I can't speak. He said, I got it covered, son. That's why I gave you a brother named Aaron. Don't worry about it. Aaron will be the mouthpiece. You take care of the leading. You take care of the guiding and doing what I ask you to do. Verse 14, he says, after he says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, in 13. 14 follows up and says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. Most of the time we look for that answer to be instantaneous. It's society that we live in today. Any of y'all ever experienced Austin or San Antonio with some of the road rage? Matter of fact, you don't even have to go there anymore. I think Brother Herman had one that was in too big a hurry this morning trying to pass him. Majority of the time of the wrecks that we see on the highway is because somebody's in too big a hurry. Everything is right now. We want it today, instantly. Our Lord, we have to understand, does not work that way. At times He does, but at times He allows things in order for you to be and I to be supported by what we need to do whatever it is He's asked us to do. He is lining up the people. He is growing you and I. He is giving us those gifts in order to accomplish what He set forth. He makes us another prophecy. He says, when I send out my word, it will accomplish what I sent it to do. So you and I as well sometimes have to be patient and wait upon Him, as Isaiah says. To wait upon the Lord, He'll direct our paths. So we know that the Lord has thoughts not to trip us up, not to bring us heartache or hardship, He says, but of peace is what He has in mind for you and I, not the evil. And He desires for you and I to have a future. John would say the same thing with the words from our Lord that he records when Jesus says, I am the vine. I want to give you abundant life when you abide in me and me in the Father. Abundant life meaning glorious, blessed, happy. When I don't follow what the Lord wants, it turns into a train wreck. When I follow what He wants, not only does it accomplish what He desired, but more importantly, I begin to see how happy and what the rewards that He gives me by following His will. That's not being selfish. That's just reality of how it happens. We can never outgive our Heavenly Father. For everything that we do following His will, He multiplies the blessings of that to you and I 10 times over and more. Job was one of the ones that we read of in the Old Testament, lost everything. But because he was faithful and lived through it and trusted the Lord not only gave him back what he had, but many times over that. And it's not just about physical, material blessings. It is the happiness and the joys. He said here, I give you peace. You see, our desire should always be to hear those words when we stand before Him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oftentimes we look at what things do I have that I could serve the Lord? How could that be? Turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here lists for you and I some of those things that are gifts. And this is only just a few, not all alone, not all inclusive. He tells us in chapter 12 and verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts. That means there's many, more than we can count. Nothing that you and I do in the Lord's service is not unaccounted for. Everything we do, no matter how simple it may seem or how intricate it may be, all of those things work together. Scripture likens it unto our body. You know, when you think about the body, what part of your body are you willing to give up? Want to give up a toe? Want to give up a finger? How about an eye? An ear? You got two, right? None of us want to lose anything. How many teeth you want to give up? You see, those things happen in life, but it's not willingly that we give any of that up. We want to come equipped with everything that came with us, right? That's always the first thing. I remember when Jacob was born, little baby. Got to bring him home. We figured out real quick, all the plumbing work. That's a good thing. First thing you check, you got 10 fingers, 10 toes. Yep, everything's there. That's what we desire for. There's not anything we want to give up. Folks, my whole point is, there's not a single thing that you do in the service of the Lord that we can do without. Everything is important. There's diversity of gifts. Never think that you don't have it. Because God does, as a lady told me one time, God doesn't create junk. He creates it perfectly. Everything, your character, your personality, the gifts that you have, God created that for a reason and a purpose in you. That you would need through a lifetime. And He continues to expound and stretch those and give us more. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 12, 4. He says, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Not a single gift that any one of you have is just for yours alone. It is for all of us because you have something I don't have. I've been given gifts that you don't have. But it collectively takes all of us to be able to do that. He's given some the ability to play music, write songs. You know, you don't care how good a musician you are. If you didn't have the writer to write the music to lay it down, what would you sing and play? By the same token, you see, he allows some to write music. Well, without an instrumentalist, without a singer to sing the song just sits there. What good is it? It all intertwines with one another. It is a diverse deal that God looks at, and he desires to incorporate each and every one of us in the goodness of all, and most of all, it's to give his glory and his honor to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Not a single thing that you and I do is of ourselves. He continues on here. Not only is it a profit of all, but verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another the different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." He formed and made us exactly what he wanted us to be. And it's not by chance that we as a body are collected here together. For you see, each one of us begins to be a part of that body, a necessary part. Nothing is expendable. And every time someone is not in that place or doesn't take on that part of serving, we all suffer for it. We stand stronger. And all of that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. I've come to notice over the past 20 years that whenever there's a need, if we don't have someone who has that talent, you know what? Suddenly one day they walk through that door and they wanted to visit and they stay. And they want to serve. God provides it for you and I. If one who's been doing it leaves, another one is brought in. God provides it for you and I. Just as he did, I gave the example of Moses. And when Moses came to the end, God had already provided the next leader of Joshua. Each and every time he provides for you and I. And it's not just in church. He does it in our lives every single day. You don't like where you're working? Pray about it. Seek his face. He'll either change where you're at or change you, or he'll give you another job. It becomes that simple, no matter what it is. We take it to him. Notice this last that we read here. All of those gifts come from the same Spirit. What Spirit? The Almighty God who created all things. Jesus says that we eat of the bread, we drink of the cup. He says this is a new covenant. We are so privileged, folks, to live in the days after Jesus Christ went to that cross. For you and I have the Holy Spirit to dwell right inside of us. Those of old had to have a prophet or a single person that God spoke to that they brought it. You and I may still have preachers. Don't get me wrong. God anoints us to be able to do that. But most especially, you and I have the Holy Spirit that can direct and guide us each and every day. As we started with Jeremiah a while ago, he says, "Seek me with all of your heart." You have been chosen to serve. And when you're willing to step forward and step out on faith to follow God's will, he'll bless you beyond any belief whatsoever. That starts by knowing him personally. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.